Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast. Previously on Tavern Tales, we've finally descended to the fifth and final level of the Forge of Fury, and thus begins the final session of the entire adventure.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
I'm Kyle, and welcome to the last session of the Forge of Fury. We are very excited. Everyone is on their phones or looking at their cables. So I will spin it out to... I'll spin it out to the group, and you can all introduce yourselves and your characters one final time.
I'm Allison, and I play Fogrim, the barbarian, who sometimes dabbles in warlockness, but more so barbarian things.
Right. Recently returning to barbarian roots.
Yes.
Did you learn a cliche from your last level?
Like a new cliche?
Yeah, new cliche. Every time you level, you have to add a cliche.
Well, by...
I'm like four behind.
Well, by that information, the answer is definitely a no, because I have not done that yet.
I don't think anybody has.
I thought you were just reminding me to remember to do my cliche.
Oh, no. I was actually saying, don't forget, everyone, add your cliches for your level.
I didn't do that.
That's okay. This is the last game anyway. You all have a mitt full of gems. I don't think you need more than you already have.
I'll try to just stick with the ones
that's a mitt full. All right, there, Paige, with your dos.
Got my jewels.
I has four.
Ooh. All right.
Aaron is next. He is playing Oscar Stonehammer, the Dwarven Durgar rogue.
He also talks in the third person.
He is very excited to be here for the final session of the Forge of Fury.
Nice.
It's been a blast.
Hello, I'm Marie Claire, and I'm playing Melusine, the fabulous bard, who has just recently learned with this new level, Major Image, which I'm super excited about for a return to the Blueberry Festival, where I shall make a giant blueberry.
It'll crush the whole town.
I mean, it's not real. It's just, you know.
But you'll just make it look like it's crushing the whole town.
I can make a giant blueberry now. I feel good about that.
Yes, I feel good that you feel good.
Good. Na, 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 na. I knew that I would now.
That's not a giant blueberry
song.
So good.
So good.
Giant blueberry. No,
obviously, the giant blueberry song is I'm blue. Da ba dee da ba da.
If I were bigger, I would kill you.
Exactly.
That song was performed by Chuck Blueberry.
Oh, Eiffel 99.
No, the other one.
Who's making a play on Chuck Berry?
I don't know how I missed that.
I don't know either.
I apologize.
You started it.
Like, zoom.
All right, moving on.
I'm speechless.
Follow that one, Paige.
I'm Paige, and I am playing Eldith Stonehammer. One thing we have come to learn about Eldith is that she apparently has a sex addiction that as soon as this adventure is over, she will be seeking help to control that addiction.
From many ogres.
Yeah. Before she goes on her next adventure, because that could cause a bit of trouble. But at least she's identified it. I mean, that's the first step, right?
That is true.
Yeah. You said follow that, so I did.
No, I'm just thinking of the Futurama episode where Zap Brannigan says he has a very sexy disease.
Oh, yeah.
What do I call it, Kif? Sexlexia. Oh, that's why I was laughing.
That's good.
Now I'm speechless.
Follow Sexlexia, please. Which is the name of your next character.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Chelsea, and I'm playing Sexlexia.
Late night DJ talk show host.
How you doing?
My name is Chelsea, and I play Tessikar.
Who is an warlock who is progressively getting younger.
So now he talks like this. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, he's pretty cool now. He looks pretty smoking.
But we'll get to that in a moment.
He's ripped.
He's always been ripped. He was one of those old guys with a six pack.
But you don't know how you feel, Matt.
Oh, I can tell you what that one Duergard felt about it.
He didn't remember because he has sexlexia.
He must run in the family.
Oh, yeah, Eldith's my twin. In case you wanted to know. Also, Tessikar has gone stupider as it has gone on. It's hard to do anything else but in this voice. I feel like I have to be a dumb jock.
Yes. And now I'll start. The white was defeated, his skeletal aids destroyed, and the bones of Dergeddon finally moved to his tomb in the family sepulchre. Knowing that the only objective now was to descend to the final level, the Stonehammer's feet grew leaden and their steps slowed. They returned to the campsite of the Duergars, eager for a moment's respite and a distraction. When asked about the battle in the room and their achievement, Melusine announced,
"It was crazy. There was, like, undead. Can you believe that?"
And now let us peek into the adventure itself as we rush headlong towards the fifth level of the Forge of Fury and the epic conclusion that awaits our adventurous five.
I don't think those two can sit next to each other.
Yeah, it's like, what is this, high school?
They're passing notes to each other.
Right. You're in the camp of the Duergars, where those marble columns rise up, the campfire's there, there's another meal laid out, and at this point, your characters have all reached fifth level.
Woohoo!
This is relevant and important for a couple of reasons. One, Allison, what level did you take?
It took another level of barbarian.
Exactly. So your dedication to Shub-Niggurath is just a passing, waning interest at this point.
Yes.
With only one level of warlock. Aaron, what did you do?
I leveled up to five. A rouge assassin.
You're crazy.
I am a bard.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I bard well. No, I leveled up to a level five bard.
Yeah. Do you have good barding?
I bard well. We bard.
Okay, yeah, no, we all get it. You're above bard.
Exactly.
Does that bard well with you?
Yes.
And other bard puns.
Insert bard puns.
Or don't. I mean, really. Yeah. We're good. Moving on.
I took another level of paladin.
Excellent.
Whoa.
Your dedication to ill matter continues.
And I'm pretty sure Elda thinks she's invincible now because with her shield, I mean, she has an AC of 22.
Ooh.
And she now has 50 hit points. So, I mean,
girl.
Basically indestructible.
Totally.
Straight up.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, don't tell the DM, though.
Issue
challenge accepted.
And finally, and deliberately finally, when we finished the last session, I posed and posited some questions to Chelsea about her character and the direction that Tessikar is going, because this is the final level you will acquire as dwarves playing as player characters, because this adventure is going to end all too soon. And so as a result, when you level up to level 5, you've had to make a decision about where you're going with Tessikar and where your, I want to say patronage, but it's also your devotion lies, because your character has been torn the entire time between initially being a cloistered scholar of ill matter, leaving there and entering Shub-Niggurath's employ, following Shub-Niggurath through all of the thick and thin of the last 4 levels of your character, only to slowly return to Illmatter's attention and return your own attention to Illmatter because your sister is so heavily involved in what seems to be a struggle betwixt Shub-Niggurath and Illmatter.
tell me a little bit about what you've done when you've leveled up your character.
Tessikar has taken a level of paladin.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness, yes. So while everybody is sitting around the campfire, Tessikar is off reading some books and mulling some stuff over as he's debating this choice. And after consideration, his family is the most important thing to him. So when Shub-Niggurath said, hey, corrupt your sister and I'll give you more power, that instantly turned. Well, not instantly. He debated it because power's good. But then he decided, no, my family. I like my family. And screw you, Shub-Niggurath.
There's a berry that is still provided to you, but you went down to the river to collect many, many, many game sessions ago. And you still have one of Shub-Niggurath's good berries in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And you were told that if you convinced Eldeth to feast or eat this berry, phenomenal cosmic power would be made yours. Berries in your pocket, burning a hole, metaphorically, not physically, in your pocket. And what do you do with the berry?
Tessikar takes the berry out of his pocket and holds it in between his, got, you know, the finger gun. So he holds it between the last two and mutters a low, dark incantation sort of thing. Warlockian, of course. And the berry just...
Oh, wait, no, you have to actually mutter that.
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah.
You said it.
You said it.
I want to hear it. Coming.
It's going to be a dark language that no one knows.
Yeah, how about it has that? To be the dark goat language of Shub-Niggurath, which
no,
you're already good at anyway. Go for it.
What? Yeah. Okay. I haven't done Perfect. Goat language in a long time. Guys.
Think back to the days in the farm.
We didn't have goats in our farm.
Farm racist?
Yeah.
No, that's pharmacist.
I'm just shaking my head in disapproval. That was no.
Yeah.
I have to remember how to bat like a goat.
Oh my god. So I feel like the choice has been made because Chelsea herself has lost the power of goat talk.
It's just that's so
Yeah, I mean you had it like this
okay,
when you were
okay.
truly dedicated that's to Shub-Niggurath.
Very true.
It's yeah,
very true.
I know. It's I have to think of what it's gotta be a fusion of like dark language and goat language and okay. Anyways, he holds the berry and he whispers darkly under his breath.
I'm sufficiently creeped out by that. Not to mention the preamble to it.
What's up?
I love the fact that there's dude bro in there. Like everybody else heard her say what's up, right?
I heard what's up too.
I didn't hear what's up. I missed it.
I heard
a-hole sure. The first time.
It's recorded. We're good.
I believe you. I wasn't questioning it.
And then what happens?
And then as he says that, the berry, which was this nice, rich, deep purple color, gets these like orange veins and black veins snaking about it really quickly. And they start to compress and then it just gives this little combustion and it explodes in this little black gray cloud of smoke.
Oh, fingers. Wow. Cool. And then what happens to the fingers?
The fingers, as he does that, the veining of the orange and the purple slides down to the tips. So now there's only the very fingertip that has any kind of coloring left to it. And that's pretty much just a scar.
Then that fades away entirely. And your entire arm is alight in pain. Mm. Horrible, agonizing agony and pain.
I'll eat the berry.
You poofed it. It's gone.
Yeah.
It is not a pain that is granted by Shub-Niggurath. In fact, your compact with Shub-Niggurath has ended. And as a result, you're a warlock without a patron. You're a paladin of ill matter. And if you would like, you may take on ill matter as your patron and god.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Illmatter doesn't speak in words.
Oh.
Illmatter speaks to you in pain. You must take on the pain of the world as the compact. Take on others' pains. Ease their suffering by making it your own. That is Illmatter's way. Illmatter is the god of pain and suffering and hurts for all of mankind. ridiculously masochistic god. But nonetheless, that's what you want. That's what you're willing to do. You find that the arm is now laced in red ribbon. You do not know where this ribbon came from. It is essentially scar tissue all up and down your Eldritch Blast dominant hand. So you still get all of the bonuses and benefits that we were granted to you before when you had your kick-ass Eldritch Blast hand, but now you have a normal arm, but it hurts all the time.
Well, shit. Ouch.
Shub-Niggurath is gone. Do you not feel a connection? Or they've dropped the call? The Skype call has ended.
Your Skype call has ended.
Is that what it says?
Instead of your watch has ended.
And you are free to act as you will. And you may take a level of paladin or warlock for your new patron, Illmatter, at your leisure. But as a paladin, you have the ability to lay on hands and divinely sense things. And I would go so far that if you wanted to move your character entirely over to being a level 5 paladin like your sibling, you could. Or you can backtrack and take your level 5 warlock, but we're only doing one more level and I really like the color here, so it's up to you, whichever you want to do. Got to find yourself a holy symbol of Illmatter to serve as your divine focus for casting your spells. Fogrum, the world goes black. A dark goat speaks to you and says,
remember, brah, you are my number one. Brah.
See, this is why I thought it was a guy. Like, this is not.
No, it's totally, totally lady voice. It's just because Kyle has a guy voice.
You can do female voices.
Yeah, and we do guy voices. What is this?
But this is a dark god.
Continue. Women can have manly
voices. I'll stop critiquing
voices.
Your voices.
Yeah.
Remember, you are my number one.
Think of like a really burly gym teacher kind of woman.
I already broke up with her.
What? No, that's fine. You just didn't want to take phenomenal cosmic power. It's okay. It's all good. You're still my number one. It's you and me. Till the end, right?
You had goat babies without my...
You put your seed in me and that's what that turned into.
You put your seed in me.
Not even possible. I'm the woman.
I never went in you. You always went in me. I don't know what you call that. Later. I don't know how it works. I'm not a god, but you did something and no.
I don't understand. You said that it was fine for parking in the rear.
It is. I don't have that issue. That's fine.
Yeah. I was paid up till 6 a.m.
I didn't want goat.
They're really cute. They miss you. Mom. Bah. Can I talk to dad?
They're going to be like this, like little fat dwarven goat babies, and some of them have mohawks. And
it's great. No, this is a good relationship. We got to continue it. Maintain it.
I never wanted this.
But you signed in. It was fully of your own volition.
Yeah, when it was just, you know, the physical stuff. And then I got to, like, do cool spell things.
You can still do cool spell things and more. Trust me. Even more power. Go and get the fist. And there will be much fisting in the world.
Oh, I do like
you can fist the whole world, Fogrum. Get the fist for me.
Well, I was going to get the fist anyways.
Yeah, I know.
But it's going to be for my family.
No, for you and me and us.
We could talk about this later.
Okay.
Well, that was weird.
Fogrim drools a little bit at the campfire. Why? And then comes to.
Oh, okay.
Not weird for him, though.
Not, yeah.
And it's kind of go.
Yeah. You make a little goat sound. Yeah, there you go. There you go. And you say goodbye to the Duergars. They're like, so long. Yeah, it's good. Probably never gonna see yous again, cause dragons go kill you. Have a good life, whatever's left of it, says Raxo. You gonna stay with us? You can go down with these Numnorods.
Nah, I should probably go with them. They've been lost ever since.
Okay, whatever. Raxo comes over, gives you a big bro hug. Like one of those one-armed hugs.
That was nice.
Pat, pat. You don't talk about the hug. It's weird. I've been hanging out with these mountain dwarves too long.
Going to Boston there, are you?
He's so judgmental. Anything else? Says Raxo and the DM.
No, let's go kill things.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're walking over to the cliff. Eldith, something strange has come over your sibling. You're the first to notice it. Your sibling had taken some time away. What is different about your character, Chelsea?
So Tessikar now is having the hood of his cloak up, because if his cloak hood was down, you notice that his hair is no longer white.
It's all salt and pepper now?
Slowly starting to go back to like the dark browny black color it was from the roots down. So it's really
nice.
Weird.
Good. Terrible dye job.
Yeah, terrible dye job.
And he refuses to make any eye contact towards Eldeth as well. So he makes sure that he's always on the opposite side of the party at all times.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Eldeth knows right away.
He's pretty hip. He's got some pretty cool robes. And so like the robes he has, he actually can flip them inside out and they're a different color on the other side.
You don't want to flip those robes inside out.
Oh, good point.
Just so you know.
Yeah, never mind.
They are disgusting with the blood of enemies and the viscera of undead things.
Yeah, no. Scratch that. I never suggested that even.
Casting mending and a cleaning one to clean up your thaumaturgy, or what is it? Prestidigitation to clean your robes. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Do that. Turn your robes inside out. What do they look like on the other side?
On the outside, they are the side that they were before, they were like a deep royal purple color. And flipping them inside out, they're just like a muted dark brown.
Right away, Eldeth can sense what happened. Because, I mean, she's followed this god religiously for 99 years. Mm. And so immediately she sees that Tessikar's trying to avoid her, but she knows what's going on. So she quickly walks up to him and she puts one hand on his left shoulder and she says, "I'm so proud of you." And with her other hand, she pulls his hood down and says, "Welcome back," and gives him a really big hug.
What, like one arm, bro hug, double pat?
As she pulls the hood down, her other hand goes to the back and she pulls him in for a really big, tight hug.
Fulgrim, go cry now.
Tessikar feels very unnerved. Tessikar stands there awkwardly while Eldeth hugs him. And when she lets go, he kind of shakes it off a little bit, puts his hood back up, doesn't say anything, and keeps walking.
Wow. Super cold.
Yeah.
Rude.
Didn't return the hug at all?
No.
Okay.
Was very stiff and awkward about it.
It's too bad. There was going to be a moment there, but didn't happen.
Nope.
Tessikar ruins everything.
Oh, he doesn't really feel like he should get a hug. Aww. He's not wanting the hug.
As he walks away, Eldeth just kind of stands there, lost, not knowing what just happened, because she knew that she finally got her brother back.
Yeah.
And there's just a single tear that rolls down her cheek.
Wait. Is there a fight happening? Is there not? What's going on? Why are you crying?
Which one of you two is dying?
Foggy sees this. Like, he sees the whole exchange. Although I don't know if he fully understands, but he thinks he understands. So he just goes up to Eldeth and is like, "I can give good hug." And wraps his arms around her.
I go follow Tessikar.
What does Melusine do?
I'm going to sing a song.
Typical. Fogrum, you give a big hug to Eldeth, and Shub-Niggurath whispers in your ear, "Yes, yes, more of this."
Damn it. I hate Shubzy. He just needs to go away. She needs to go away.
Show her how much we care.
I'm just going to ignore her because I'm trying to have a nice moment. And I just hug her a little bit tighter.
That's so nice.
This is just for me, not from anybody else.
Melusine, what is this song that you sing while Oscar tromps after Tessikar?
You can't always get what you want.
Oh my God.
You get what you need.
Yeah, I was going for like this soft, special moment. And
I know.
I read the room.
You read the room right.
Yeah.
Shub-Niggurath is proud of you.
Fuck me.
Go away.
All right. Tessikar walks off, heading towards the cliff edge.
What? There's a cliff edge now?
There has been all along.
Oh.
Make the sacrifice.
Yes. No, it's already been made. It was thrown down. It's down there at the bottom. And Oscar says, "What? What do you do to Tessikar?"
"Something's different." And I pull the hood down.
Okay. Again.
Yes.
You'd already seen it. But it's...
I wanted to see it up close this time.
Okay.
"It's not gray anymore. It's brown. Why is it brown?"
Inquisition here. Right. Tessikar's new voice. Damn it.
News reporter.
Oh, yes. News reporter. Right. Mm-hmm. Changes have been made.
What kind of changes have been made to you and your voice and your hair?
Divine changes.
Right. I see. Well, this was very enlightening for me.
I don't know. You might be more willing to open up to Oscar than you would to the rest of them, because you have been hanging out and living with and spending time with Oscar for like 20 years now. The two of you have an unspoken understanding that has now changed on your part, and he's just looking for some consolation, it seems like.
Tessikar goes into his bag and he pulls out the equivalent of dwarven cigars. And he hands one to Oscar. And he's like, want to go for a walk?
You're right in front of the cliff.
Don't move the weeds.
Off the cliff we go.
We can walk along the cliff line.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
You stroll like 20 feet. Sure. Yeah.
Stroll 20 feet. As they're very slowly walking, more concentrated on smoking the cigars, Tessikar kind of, he just tells Oscar everything that happened, because that makes it easier than me having to recount it all.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Jot's like, well, this didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. Yeah. But I'm going to stick around and see how things end up. How you doing, Fogrum?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
Sweet.
Can't really pay any attention to that one over there anymore, the not gray hair. So, fourth quarter, 10 seconds left on the clock. Still want me there, coach? Okay, yeah. I'm your guy, Fogrum.
So it's Jot mine now instead of, maybe I'll use him. Use Carl, all caps, and Jot.
There you go.
All caps.
Sorry, I just don't float that way.
Who's Carl?
The rug.
Oh. I know, I forgot about him too, but I'm really glad I wrote in all caps. Use Carl.
Carl Pitt.
It definitely feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Who goes down the chain ladder first to enter the fifth level of the Forge of Fury? And is there anything you would like to do before you go down the chain ladder?
I would like to cast Bless.
Okay.
Good move. I would like to know if I can ride Carl down.
Carl doesn't fly. We've explained that before.
But I could like toboggan down.
It is a cliff.
You can toboggan down
not
the cliff.
Not a hill.
Eldith jumps. No, I'm just kidding.
You could grab Carl by the four tassels and try to parachute, but we know that doesn't actually work in real life, so it would just be a funny way to die.
Darn Aladdin lying to us. I'm good with going down first. Okay. I'm pretty eager to go and do stuff.
Bundle Carl up on your back.
Yeah.
Jot's like, I'm just gonna ride Priscilla if that's okay. Whoa, this pig's getting big.
Oh.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Very important.
Down they go.
Hold on tight.
Ooh, I like that.
I'll follow second.
Second is Oscar. Who's third? Me. Okay. Who's fourth?
Me.
And the very last is Eldith. Mm-hmm. You can see the red ribbons of ill matter directing you to go down, tying up this chain in a way that your brethren cannot see, Elda and Tessikar not able to see just yet. Holding this chain ladder together, no one needs to make a roll. You all descend to the fifth level perfectly fine. Was there anything else that Eldith wanted to do after you cast Bless? You were casting Bless just to make it easier for everybody to get down the ladder?
Oh no, in anticipation of something attacking us at the bottom.
Okay, cool. How long does Bless last for? An hour?
So it lasted 10 rounds.
So that's 1 minute. It takes quite a few rounds to get down, so I will just presume that you would want to have that cast or ready to cast or prepared to cast should you have gone into combat and so there's no surprise round and whatnot. So you don't have to blow out that spell slot just yet because it's only 1 minute. So I'll retcon that one for you so that you don't have to waste one of your six. I don't know how many spell slots you have, actually. So let me describe. A thundering spray of water fills this chamber, pooling and flowing out to join a larger river to the north. The air is damp, and the roar of the waterfall is deafening. A broad ledge heads north towards the river and then turns out of sight to the east. The muddy bank of the pool looks disturbed by tracks of some kind. Remember when I told you before, you're the big pit there, you're over on the one side of the chasm, and the other side was where the water was falling off, and you've climbed down, and where you've landed, there's a muddy pool and whatnot. The river continues to the north. There are ledges on either side to walk and traverse to head north. There's no other real way to go. The water is fast flowing and fierce here. but you land at the bottom of this chain. It's really rusty at the bottom from all of the spray that's washed up. Tessikar, give me a religion check. Yeah, it's that super rusty. Eldith, you can tell that it's not actually rust what you're looking at. What you're looking at is Illmatter's pained grip to hold the ladder tight and ease your step down to this level. Tracks and whatnot on the ground.
Can I check them out?
Absolutely. Give me a survival check. Anybody helping you?
Who wants to help?
I can help you.
Okay.
All right, that roll with advantage. Okay.
23.
You made it sound like I didn't roll very well.
I looked at that one first and fair. I was like, boo. Oh, yay.
Yes, they look like claw marks, three times the size of your not insubstantial mitts themselves. And there's some sort of etching or whatnot around on the ground as well that you don't initially understand, but you figure with that amazing roll that you got and Oscar's help that there is acid that has eaten and etched the what?
I didn't help.
Oscar helped in this instance. I was looking at you. Sure, keep it.
Sweet.
Oscar's like, hey, look over here. And you see there's some acid that is etched away the stone near the claw.
Do we also see like a tail being dragged or anything?
Nope.
It's just claws and acid.
Well, yeah, those are the claw marks that have, yep.
Sometimes good creatures have acid, right? That could be a good.
You basically have determined that this creature, whatever his claw marks it has four claws. The tracks lead away from the hard stone of the ledge to the north and into the water itself. When you look there, you can see a stone bridge. A stone bridge that stretches north to south. The water curls over and flows west to east, and this bridge crosses it to allow you access to the northern side. So picture it, the water is rushing up and away from you, and then it curls around a corner, and there's a bridge that goes across it to reach the northern side. And that is crafted with dwarven craftsmanship. You can see that it is beautifully created and constructed, and the steps up the bridge are all proper dwarven height steps of 4.5 inches. None of these 7-inch steps that the humans like so much. That's too big a step.
Here.
What would you like to do?
I want to go over the bridge since it looks like I'm leading everybody because I was the first one off.
Sure. Yeah, you're in the front right now. Everybody's landed at the bottom. Tessikar and Eldith are still not standing near each other.
Let's go see what's over there. And I start going over the bridge.
Yeah. You head over to the bridge and you can see immediately that while it is well constructed, this bridge has been weakened substantially from acid.
Is there acid in the water splashing on the bridge? Is that why it's, or is it from?
No, it doesn't seem to be that you can tell. I mean, yeah, the water does hit up onto the foundation marks of the bridge, but it doesn't look well. You can make a crafting check if any of you have stoneworking, which I don't think any of you do. You can make a check if you'd like to try to figure out if you know what's going on with this bridge.
Our racial trait is stone cunning.
What?
I have mason tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can make a check with advantage, and the rest of you can all make checks with proficiency. These are intelligence checks.
Oh, I'm not very smart.
Here goes nothing. Nope.
Cool.
Nothing is correct.
So did anyone beat a 15? Excellent. Well done, Eldith. Eldith, you're the only one who can see that, yes, while there has been acid that's hit this bridge, it is structurally still sound and there's nothing wrong with it. No one else is really, you're all unsure if it's okay or not, but Eldith can see clearly it is still fine.
Eldith, seeing that it's still fine, she's kind of in a silent mood and she doesn't really feel like being social with anybody after what's happened, and so she kind of just walks forward and starts walking across the bridge to show everyone that it's almost to the point, even though she's in this crazy plate armor, she still almost has such a light footing that it looks like she's floating, because what she's feeling is just fully encompassing her body and the way that she's walking.
Typical Eldeth, looking or leaping before she looks. Just shake my head.
You immediately see to the east. It's like a 30-foot walk along this northern embankment. There is no southern ledge on this side of the river because it's cutting right into the wall. And there is another bridge that you can just dimly make out that heads north to south from where you are now to a southern place. You can't see much beyond that bridge, though, because your dark vision only goes so far. But roll me a perception check. And as each of you walks over the bridge, you may all make a perception check as well.
God.
Good job.
Yeah. Natural 20.
No, worse. Worse than before.
I'm keeping this dice today.
You're not doing well tonight.
Nope.
We're saving our good rolls for later.
It's okay. I'll carry you guys on my shoulders.
Thanks.
I saw the natural 20 from Eldith. So you hear this first. Anybody else who beat a 15 also hears it, but only dimly. And if you did not succeed, because Eldith does hear it, you're attracted to it and you are all able to make it out dimly after a few moments. You can hear a voice off in the distance, talking to itself, singing to itself. It says,
I'm trying to hold my breath. Let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me. Getting louder now. Can you hear it echoing? Take my claw. Won't you share this with me? 'Cause darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These claws could hold the world, but it'll never be enough. Never be enough. Shubsy! Never, never! Never, never! Never, Shubsy! Shubsy!
The voice continues to sing. It is somewhere off in the distance. As you reach this second bridge, you make another check to determine if this one is stolid.
My luck's gonna run out.
Ooh, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. What kind of check was this?
This is, once again, a stoneworking check. So your proficiency. You could add your proficiency bonus, and you're going to add your intelligence modifier to it. How did we do? Did anybody beat a 15? Well, only Fogrim notices. How well did you do, Fogrim?
19.
Oh, that is not enough stop Eldith from initially starting to tromp across the bridge. So
I did make that offhand comment about her doing things before thinking about them. So I feel good about it anyways.
Eldith, you step foot onto the bridge. You're in the lead, as you had been when you crossed the first bridge. Make a dexterity saving throw.
I think my luck on my dice ran out.
Oh, no.
We'll see.
Yep.
Oh,
8.
That is not enough. You fall heavily into the river below.
Again?
You take 7 damage and you're caught up in the current.
As I start mid-fall,
yes.
Can I use my scroll of water walk?
No, you're going to land in the water and take 7 okay. damage no matter what you do. You may then use your scroll of water walk if you would like to. Who was directly okay, yes, you may make a dexterity check to see if you can grab Eldith before she falls in and lands in the river.
I'm going to get ya.
She'll still take the 7 points of damage.
No!
Okay, make a dexterity saving throw because you might fall into the river as well, having failed so poorly at trying to grab her.
This seems like deja vu.
More than enough. You don't fall in. You almost slip. But
why does this always happen?
The bridge collapses. It's only a 15-foot span bridge, which is really weird, but it's beautifully built. It's just pitted with this acid. And the bridge collapses and the voice that's singing stops suddenly. We'll be right back.
place on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy. Raise a glass and sing to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal Adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.